That's great to see everyone this morning. Hope you have a good week ahead of you. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in the book of Genesis chapter 19. Someone once said, I was walking down the street when I saw a sign on a house that said, Beware the dog. After I got out of the hospital, I hung up a new sign underneath it that said, Warning, gate does not close all the way. You know, sometimes the information we get in life is not as complete as we need it to be. In Genesis 19:17, as soon as the angels had brought them, Lot and the family, out, one of them said, Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I cannot flee to the mountains. The disaster will overtake me, and I die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. He said to him, Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. So the tragedies that we see in life, the shuttle tragedy is, the last one was one that blazed over the skies in Texas, and it reminded us that all who live do so on the edge of eternity. And I like the way the writer of this said that, on the edge of eternity. We're just a hair breadth away from the eternity. In the earliest press conferences, the stunned NASA officials who cheerfully spoke of Columbia's horror was not reticent to remind the watching world that the tragedy would not stop adventures into space. In fact, the tragedy actually spurs the survivors of the team on to continue with greater vigilance and excellence. Regardless of your opinion about the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, you would have to admit that it was a tragedy and a trauma for the three known survivors, because they were cast out of a place where they left. Now, tragedies happen. Your character determines how the substance of a trauma directs your life. How is that tragedy going to affect you? A large event has energy to propel you true, in the direction in which it propels people sometimes. We either move up or we move down. You know, natural reaction to tragedy or failure or loss is to withdraw, to reduce. And that shows up in the character study that we're looking at today of Lot. In Genesis 19:19, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness in me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Now, Lot's first focus was on the I can't instead of the I can. And if God's with us, as the Bible says, then we can do those things he wants us to do. So in verse 20 of Genesis 19, he says, Look, there's a town here near enough for me to go to, and it's small. Let me flee to it. And the first fallout of I can't is compromise. When we can't do something, we seek compromise. If you can't win the war against the nation that you're going to fight, then you seek a compromise, some sort of peace. So they granted him to be able to go to Zoar and live there. And the fatal flaw of I can't is that it ties up God. Lot had a bend towards little. Zoar means little. You know, he sought the least that he could get. And you know, so I've always heard some folks say, Oh, I don't want a mansion in heaven, just give me a little shack. You know, that way they don't have to be as good as the next person, but they'll still get into heaven some sort of way. But we should look to the greater things in us and what we can do as people to help others and to spread the gospel when the opportunity is there, to be able to share that with someone that might have an attentive ear. But we see in each move, Lot's motivation is fear. He was fearful. It was fear for the angels' well-being, not his hospitality, that motivated Lot to invite them overnight. It was fear that caused Lot to wrongfully offer the compromise of his daughters as an appeasement to the mob at the door. It was fear of change that made Lot almost late in leaving the city. When he hesitated, the angels took him out. He was fearful of leaving those things because that's where comfort was. Abraham said, well, you go your way and I'll just go the other way. He gave him the choice. Well, Lot went to the big city where there was safety and security, but there was also sin and deprivation in that city. And Abraham was on the field. And Abraham did much better than him, trusting in God. So Lot's fear caused all those things to happen to him. Lot was afraid to make a lifestyle change in his life. He wasn't willing to leave there. You know, his wife's hesitancy made her famous as a pillar of salt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Lot's issue was to still be in the city. Lot was an urbanite, a city dweller. He and his family had earlier been abducted in a military raid on the city and had been rescued by his uncle Abraham. Even then, Lot stayed in Sodom. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Lot was considered to be a righteous man and that the behavior of the people of Sodom vexed him. Now, there's a horrible silence where it does not tell us that he acted on the vexation. In fact, Scripture reveals to us that Lot assimilated into his culture, becoming a leader in Sodom. Lot's thinking over time took him to the place where he believed he could not live away from a town. Living in sin will blind you to true reality and cause you to start believing a lie. So has fear of lifestyle change blinded some of us into thinking or believing in a false reality that we can't do without these things, that we have to have that safety? It didn't help Lot, you know, that he was abducted from Sodom and Abraham had to save him. So we see, you know, this character study, that really if we trust too much in this world, we're not fully trusting in God's blessings. Now, fear will entice you to neglect responsibility. Lot did not again arrange marriages for his daughter and girls. What capacity to reach the people of Zoar, the testimony of Lot's girls. All those things motivated by fear of that. Now, fear will motivate you to miss a blessed opportunity. Lot was afraid he couldn't live in the mountains, but the irony is he had spent years living in prosperous life in the mountains with his uncle Abraham. If he had gone to the mountains that the angels had said, God would have provided again, perhaps to restore his prosperity. You see, Lot could have moved to the mountains, and like his uncle Abraham, became prosperous again, to have that success. Moving to the same mountain later, however, after an open opportunity, would not recapture that promise, because he didn't listen to God. When we don't listen to God and his promises and let fear overtake our lives, then we're living that little life. We're living a life of less than what we can be. So, if you're not transformed, living a little life will lead you to less. You're not going to have the blessings that God wants you to have. In Genesis 19:14, so Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the cities. But his son-in-law thought he was joking. In Genesis 19:30, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. He wanted to go to Zoar, but he was afraid to live there too. So he went and hid in a cave. The root of the Hebrew word for cave is naked, and that is having nothing. So because of his fear, he ran here and there. Well, first, he lived in a city that was wicked, became a leader there, and became comfortable with that lifestyle, comfortable with the sin around him. And then when he went out, he wanted to go to this city because he was afraid, and he was afraid to be in that city, so he went out and hid in a cave anyway. So the Lot who went to Sodom was a wealthy rancher with herds and servants. He was a man who walked with God, who had a young family and a bright future. The Lot who left Sodom was a man whose lightweight lifestyle had made his spiritual impact on those close to him seem like a joke. Remember, his son-in-law thought he was joking. He didn't see Lot as a religious man or much of anything like that. So when he said the place is going to be destroyed, he was going to be, put out and stuff. So basically, his lifestyle and the life that he led there diminished him in what he could do and his capacity to be a spiritual person. Even though he was a righteous man, he was affected by that. So he fled from these impoverished, fearful widower. He was now a single parent of two girls who had lost their fiancés when their way of life was totally obliterated. If you want to put it in kind of modern terms, that's exactly what happened. So basically, because Lot did not trust like Abraham, he didn't get the blessings that Abraham had. Now we know that blessings are not always material things. We're not going to follow God and he's going to make us rich or give us something that we don't deserve or anything like that, or give us more than we need. So we need to see that there's great spiritual blessings in this, to walk a life with God that's free from the stresses of that, free from the fear that Lot had in his life, and the freedom to live a life that God wants us to live. So living in a little ville, so to speak, or staying in small, causes people to settle for the way things are, to base their lives on a low level of circumstances and custom. In other words, you get used to not having much, then you're going to live with not much. John Maxwell, and a man who went to the fortune teller, 45 years of misery, then you get used to it. So it's kind of like, you can go to a fortune teller and they can tell you what you're going to have. But if you get years of misery, you just get used to it. There's something, prison recidivism is people who go back because they've never lived a life in outside of prison. So that's all they know. So that's where their comfort zone is. And you would think, wouldn't they just want to be free? But no, there's organization there. There's people, as they say, that's got your back, that take care of you, and you're within your own gangs and stuff and everything like that. So basically, Lot was used to that lifestyle, and that diminished him, made his faith little, made his righteousness little, and impacted on him. So basically, what happened to Lot is he let fear rule his life. So, at the time of the writing, when Lot was out there, they knew of Moab and Ammon, but had no interaction with them as enemies yet. So he wouldn't have had any natural enemies or anybody that he could fall into the hands to them that would have been a great enemy of his. So again, he's letting his irrational fears rule his life and not letting God take care of him. So in James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. So if we look at that verse, we can see that Lot was deceived by his fears. He was deceived in that he thought he had to live in a large city where he became less successful than when he was with his uncle Abraham. He became less righteous because of the sin in that city. And he became less than what he could be. And when he left there, he fled there barely, getting out, before the angels had to drag him out. And then he just wanted to go to a small place, and he was scared of that place. And everything scared him. And we could be scared of everything in life, but in the end, if we trust God, then we're going to be able to temper that fear. You may not be able to totally rid yourself of that fear in life, but the one thing you can is have confidence that God is going to get you through that. I see a picture of John Wayne on the wall of this place. I go every time, and it says, courage is being scared to death and still saddling up. We can overcome with God. We can become strong with God. It takes prayer. It takes meditation. It takes studying Scripture. It takes living a life that God wants us to have and seeing how He acts in our life. He's there, it's subtle. No one else is going to see it, and you're not going to be able to claim it as a miracle, but we can look back in our lives and see the times that God knew what was right for us and guided us. And He's not going to let us down. He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to take us halfway and drop us off. But He's going to take us all the way. And with Jesus, He went all the way and paid the price. And today we can either accept that, come back to it, you know, return to it, or we can reject it. It's all up to us. I don't know what your condition is this morning, or if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?